Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Jean Monnet Centers on Citizens' Rights. I'm Romane Lieber and this is a series of conversations with guest speakers or project team members.
So a belated Happy New Year to you, to our listeners. We are very happy to start again a series of podcasts in 2024 by discussing with you our next event. The event is entitled The EU as Promoter of Anti-Discrimination Rights in its Neighbourhood, Comparing Northern Ireland and Ukraine, and it will be held very soon on the 6th of February. The event will take place at the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission in Dublin. It involves a set of very interesting guest speakers. We have Professor Rory O'Connell from Ulster University, Maria Jasinowska, a human rights and anti-discrimination expert from the European Disability Forum, Irina Tishukova, a PhD researcher from Maynooth University, and we will have a comment from Dr. Eben Joseph, a diversity and race relations consultant from the Director Institute of Anti-Racism and Black Studies. So you can also count on the participation of Mary C. Murphy from UCC, who will act as a chair discussant, and Professor Dagmar Schick, who is here today to talk about the event. So Dagmar Schick is a full professor of EU law and labour law at University College Dublin and directs Right to Unite, a project which developed a new social legal theory of European integration funded by ERC advanced grants. Dagmar was principal investigator of the Jean Monnet and director of the European Centre at UCC until her move to UCD. Thus, she knows very well a project and she's in portion behind it. So thank you for coming here today, Dagmar.
Thank you for having me.
So the event relates to EU anti-discrimination law in its neighbourhood and involves a comparison of Northern Ireland and Ukraine. Can you tell us a little bit more about the event and what especially are we trying to figure out there?
Well, basically, our research question is to what extent citizens can rely on EU-derived rights in the EU's neighbourhood. Anti-discrimination law specifically is one of the EU flagships and it's a large partition of the democracy and human rights chapters for accession states such as Ukraine. But to what extent does it really endow citizens with enforceable rights? And if it doesn't, does it perhaps have other effects? Has a political discourse which is engendered by the accession process or just the neighborhood agreements effects, such as raising awareness for anti-discrimination rights? That is what we are going to discuss. And you've already mentioned that we have a very interesting set of speakers. I would like to add that Professor Rory O'Connell from Ulster University has written a legal opinion for the Northern Irish Human Rights Commission on the extent to which Article 2 of the so-called Windsor Framework protects human rights. That's the article which says the UK will ensure that there's no diminution of rights. And so he will expand on this on the basis of this report on problems and issues with anti-discrimination law in Northern Ireland and how far Article 2 helps us. And Maria Jasinowska, whom you mentioned, is a Ukrainian scholar and disability rights activist. She's really interested in being portrayed as an activist rather than an academic. And she has a very critical stance on the extent to which the association agreement with Ukraine promotes the effective promotion and protection against discrimination. And Irina Tikhoshova presents a paper on disability rights beyond discrimination, like access and so on. And so all this is much about disability and anti-discrimination generally. Both these areas are areas full of ethnic tension between Russians and Ukrainians in Ukraine and between so-called nationalists and so-called unionists in Northern Ireland. And so Dr. Eben Joseph will provide us with a comment from an anti-racism perspective, and that's really important. So I think it's a very interesting event.
Yes, indeed. Very interesting set of speakers. That's very exciting. But I was also wondering, because comparing Northern Ireland and Ukraine, it's not necessarily two countries you will see together. So why choose this comparison?
So I've given one reason already. These are both regions, marriage and ethnic tensions. But the wider rationale is that if we speak of the European neighbourhood, the EU normally thinks about the East and the South. Yeah. The eastern neighbors are Georgia, Ukraine, Moldova, and what have you. And the southern is the Mediterranean and Libya and so on. But nobody thinks of the West, although there is a neighborhood in the West that comprises the EEA countries such as Norway. And now the new Western neighborhood is United Kingdom. And so I found it really interesting to compare what happens in both these areas. And the legal regimes covering Northern Ireland and Ukraine couldn't be more different. Ukraine has a proper association agreement. It is obliged to implement all these anti-discrimination directives and lots of other directives, and that's supervised. And for Northern Ireland, it is Article 2. Rory will have more to say about that. Just maintain, and the supervision is not by the EU Commission, but by the Northern Irish Human Rights Commission and the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland. So it's quite interesting there. And so it's also interesting, a question, how far can agreements which are mere international law, and I'm contradicting Professor Roman Petrov from Kiev here, who says the EEA, the association agreement with Ukraine, has direct effect. I'm not so sure the Court of Justice would agree. So this is international law. And how far can we maintain this citizens' orientation, which the EU prouds itself of within its borders, into the neighborhood and go to the West and the East? That's an interesting perspective, I think.
It really is. Thank you, Dagmar. And I was also wondering, because we have another event that is in preparation right now, that's going to take place in April. It's a workshop, and it would be based on what we have found or highlighted in this seminar. So can you tell us a little bit about that? How can we relate those questions to a workshop that will involve civil society and creative expression?
Well, we will have to say something about that after the event, because, as you say, it's a result of the event. So the idea is research shouldn't just stay within the university, within the ivory tower, but should go out in the world. And we UCC is lucky enough to have the Glucksmann Gallery, who has experience with those interactive citizens workshops. So basically, the idea is to take the academic results and to engage with citizens, make them understandable to them, and also create artistic pieces which can then endure after the event. So it's a very interesting concept. I'm not saying what we are going to find. Obviously, I do have an idea, but I won't preempt our speakers.
Thank you, Dagmar. And I wanted just to come back to, you already mentioned that a little bit, but the research focus of the Jean Monnet, which is to investigate how EU derived right can actually contribute to the EU legitimacy in EU, its neighbourhood and globally, while adopting a citizen's perspective and considering how citizens perceive right and how citizens use rights. So it is the question of the seminar in the end, but can you tell us a little bit what you think in light of this discussion, how, if EU anti-discrimination law is actually creating rights in its neighborhood, and if you think citizens can actually use those rights?
I have worked on those association agreements in the neighborhood, and actually I have given an expert opinion on Georgia and the implementation of anti-discrimination law there. And the cause of this, I've also looked into Ukraine. And what we find there, which isn't atypical for anti-discrimination law for association countries and for accession candidates, it's a copy-pasting exercise. So they take the directives, copy-paste them into national law, and then take out the things they don't like. In Georgia, that was the principle that employees and also citizens as consumers, when it comes to racial and sex discrimination, must be protected against unintentional discrimination as well. And as a civil law country, they didn't like that, and no protection there. In Ukraine, it's very similar, also a civil law country, where any liability will always depend on fault. And so the implementation isn't correct there either. On the other hand, that these legislation pieces are in existence is the fault or the benefit of the European Union's association agreements, so that something is happening and that implementation in the national law will perhaps may enhance the legitimacy of the EU if it's seen as a promoter of that anti-discrimination law and if the population embraces it. And that's a very large if, because there can be forces at national level who say, well, the EU forces us to embrace, for example, anti-discrimination for lesbian, gay and gay minorities. Or it forces us to use an anti-discrimination agenda for our integration of different ethnicities. But if it's promoted as positive, then, of course, it enhances the EU legitimacy. There were a lot of ifs. And now I hope you can see how interesting that event will be.
Yes, thank you, Dagmar. Thank you for this discussion. And thank you for listening. Do not forget that the event is taking place on the 6th of February, so that's very soon. And the event will be held in person, but also online. So if you're not in Dublin, you can still attend. To register, you can go on our website. You type UCC EU Integration, then you can click on the Jean Monnet Center. You then have a tab upcoming events. You can also find us on social media, LinkedIn and Twitter. So see you on the 6th of February in Dublin and online.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.